deserts and streams, the rise of Dos Cabezas, and the outlaws I see in my dreams.
This is Kathy Benares, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, reading from Arizona Highways. From the February 2025 issue of Arizona Highways. Going to start out today with an article by Suzanne Wright entitled Pizzeria Mimosa. Hefford, Arizona isn't on the radar screen of most travelers, but the small town between Bisbee and Sierra Vista is home to one of the best pizzerias in the state. It's definitely worth the detour. The parking lot is likely to be full when you arrive at Pizzeria Mimosa in Hefford, southeast of Sierra Vista, and inside, the brick and wood accents of the Tuscany-inspired setting welcome a diverse clientele that includes Fort Huachuca personnel and contractors, hospital workers, retirees, and young families, all drawn to owner Vicki Gilbert's vision of sharing her Italian heritage through wood-fired pizza, pasta, and more. It's a scene that would be at home in Scottsdale, and it feels miraculous to find it in the tiny southeastern Arizona town. In a way, it is. Before it opened in late 2011, the restaurant was under construction when the Monument Fire burned more than 30,000 acres in the neighboring Huachuca Mountains and destroyed several dozen structures in town. Gilbert, who'd been evacuated, got a phone call informing her that her building was one of them. However, as it turned out, first responders were able to save it by repeatedly spraying it with water. Today, Pizzeria Mimosa remembers the blaze via the hot and spicy Monumento, a pizza with crushed tomatoes, Calabrian chilies, mozzarella, roasted red peppers, and peppered salami. It's one of a dozen pizza options. Another favorite is the mimosa, featuring prosciutto, red onions, mozzarella, and the pleasant crunch of Sicilian pistachios. The pizzas are fired in an 800-degree oak-fueled oven imported from Naples. Appetizers include plump Calabrian meatballs made in-house daily and a creamy burrata. And Gilbert and her team take cues from what's in season or locally available when planning dinner specials. An early autumn treat of chanterelle mushrooms flown in from Washington State and ladled over farfalle in a flavorful sauce was a knockout. Another treat, wild-caught king salmon, was served over toasted frigula, a Sardinian cousin to couscous. To pair with these savory meals, Pizzeria Mimosa whips up creative cocktails such as the mimosa flower, lemongrass-infused vodka, St. Germain elderflower liqueur and limonada, and the popular house cello, which combines a citrus trio of limoncello, limecello, and orange cello. Gilbert also stocks wines from vineyards she's visited, and after drinks and dinner, you'll want to save room for the velvety, house-made tiramisu topped with a mint sprig. Once you've eaten your fill, stop at Pizzeria Mimosa's gourmet shop on your way out. There, you'll find imported chocolates, hazelnuts, Italian flour, olive oil, pasta, holiday panettones, and wines, among other treats you might not expect to find in this tiny town. Pizzeria Mimosa is located at 4755 East Neapolitan Way in Hefford. Phone number 520-378-0022. Website pizzeriamimosa.com. And this concludes Pizzeria Mimosa. Amima Ahmed writes about Grand Canyon Brewing Company. Sacred Sororo and Sunset Amber Ale are among the more popular beers at Grand Canyon Brewing Company, but there are plenty of other drinks to choose from, including bourbon, gin, and fresh roasted coffee. Before opening a brewery, John Peasley's only experience with beer was drinking it. That was enough, it seems, because Grand Canyon Brewing Company has become a thriving business with four locations in northern Arizona. Presley, a U.S. Navy veteran, was looking for something to do after leaving the military. He knew he wanted to open a business, so he started with a gift shop in Williams. He settled in and became friends with the owner of the restaurant next door. When that restaurant closed and the building was put on the market, he bought it and turned it into Cruiser's Route 66 Cafe. Not long after that, he thought about opening a brewery, and then he did. In 2007, with the help of a good investment and the skills he acquired in the Navy, Peasley opened Grand Canyon Brewing Company, despite his limited experience with beer. "I've only homebrewed a couple of batches in my whole life," he says. "I'm more in management and leadership. The stuff I learned in the military, you can use that to lead a kitchen staff, and you can lead people to make good beer and grow a brand new product. Finding those people wasn't difficult. The brewery industry was taking off. Everybody wanted to drink craft beer, and everybody wanted to brew it," Peasley says. After some trial and error, he now has a team that makes several popular beers. The most popular are the Sunset Amber Ale and the American Pilsner. Customers love the year-round ales and India Pale Ales, too, and the seasonal brews such as Deep in the Green, a double IPA, and Sacred Sororo, a Mexican amber lager. Peasley says there are about 20 beers on rotation, and each brewery has 18 taps or more. Sean Jones, a customer for the past 3 years, says the friendly staff is part of the reason she loves visiting. "They always greet you with a hug and a warm fire in the fireplace," she says. She loves all of the beer, but the pale ale is her favorite, and she also enjoys the huckleberry margaritas. Mixed drinks, Peasley says, are the result of a group process for coming up with drink flavors and combinations. Everybody goes over it, samples it, and writes down their notes. Now, some of those mixed drink ingredients are being made in-house. After getting the beer-making process down, Peasley added a distillery to the Williams location to expand its offerings and allow for more creativity. The distillery opened in 2017 and produces whiskey, vodka, rum, and gin varieties. There's a tasting room, too, with a view of the distillery to give customers a behind-the-scenes look at the process. The idea is to create local, small batches that people can get excited about, Peasley says. And there's more. Recently, the company further diversified by adding a roastery that operates in conjunction with the distillery and offers fresh, roasted coffee. The idea came from Peasley wanting to make better use of the morning hours when customers aren't as likely to come in for beer or booze. "Tesla decided to build a supercharging station on our property," Peasley says. "That means customers coming around 24/7, so I thought, my staff is already here brewing and distilling. Why not run a coffee roaster with a little coffee shop?" Peasley says the coffee shop is a natural next step toward becoming a full beverage house that offers everything from flavored waters and sodas to more elevated craft beers and spirits. "We have a bourbon-flavored coffee," he says. "The best thing about it is that it tastes like bourbon, but there's no alcohol in it." Grand Canyon Brewing Company has locations in Williams, Flagstaff, Page, and Kingman. The flagship in Williams is just steps away from the Grand Canyon Railway and Hotel and is within walking distance of many of Williams' historic Route 66 gift shops and attractions. Grand Canyon Brewing Company is located at 301 North 7th Street in Williams. Phone number 928-635-1911. Website GrandCanyonBrewery.com. And this concludes Grand Canyon Brewing Company. Kelly Vaughn writes about Will's House. Located on Brewery Avenue in Bisbee's Brewery Gulch, this historic property, which dates to 1902, is decorated with vintage Western art pieces, including a Lon McGargy. Lee and Shad Kvetko are no strangers to things in the past or the hospitality industry. They've peddled vintage wares in Phoenix and Dallas. They're the proprietors of Las Almas Rodas, an award-winning mezcal and tequila bar in Dallas. And as of 2024, they're the owners of Bisbee's historic Will's House, which dates to 1902. The property on Brewery Avenue in Brewery Gulch features two rentable units. The Nopalis Suite is a one-bedroom, one-bathroom apartment with a kitchenette and is suitable for two guests. The larger Agave Casita is well-suited for two as well, and along with its one bedroom and one bathroom, it features a full kitchen loaded with all the comforts of home. Both units are available through Airbnb. "We conceived of the Will's House as a celebration of the Southwest in general and Arizona in particular," Shad says. "We've decorated the units with vintage Western pieces and particularly items with a connection to Arizona, like the tabletop from Bill Johnson's Big Apple, the vintage Lon McGargy Cowboy's Dream print, and one of the original tables from the Tavria Stockyards restaurant. The Tavria family had connections to both Bisbee and Phoenix, and many of the items that graced both rental units, including an advertisement from Phoenix-based Donofrio's Cactus Candy, come from the Kvetko's personal collection. In addition, Lee is an artist, and her pieces, informed by the desert Southwest, are peppered throughout the property. I started going to Bisbee with my father when I was a kid, Shad says. He had a friend who was a fellow antiques dealer and who still lives there. This was in the early 80s, and I remember thinking to myself that someday I would live there. Later, I traveled to the area on my own because I loved the beauty of both the natural surroundings and the town itself. I also loved the feel of the town and its sense of joie de vivre. The couple plans to continue developing the courtyard with native plants, petrified wood and rock, a theme inspired by Mesa's Buckhorn Bass, which had extensive rock gardens. One visit to the Wills house makes clear that the Kvetkos are looking forward to a future in Bisbee, one with a significant, well-curated nod to the past. Wills house is located at 134 Brewery Avenue in Bisbee. And this concludes Wills house. The scenic drive for February 2025 is Willow Springs Road. Like most desert drives in southern Arizona, this route features yuccas, mesquites, and cactuses, as well as distinct panoramas of the region's many mountain ranges. Articles written by Noah Austins. We hear it a lot. Why do so many of the scenic drives in Arizona highways require a high-clearance vehicle? It isn't by design, but there are only so many paved scenic roads in Arizona, and on dirt roads, the quality of the roadway tends to be inversely correlated to the quality of the view out the window. Willow Springs Roads is a welcome exception. For the entirety of its 19.5 miles, it's nearly as easy to navigate as State Route 77, the highway in the Oracle area from which it begins. A cyclist riding there on a recent Friday morning offered another description. It's superhighway smooth, and along the way are views of mountains, desert plants, and more. There's also an area attraction worth checking out before you even begin the drive. Just east of the starting point on SR 77 is the turnoff for Biosphere 2, which is best known for its experiments with closed environmental systems in the 1990s. Now, a research facility operated by the University of Arizona is open daily for public tours, which can be reserved online. After that, head back to the highway, then north on Willow Springs Road. The Santa Catalina Mountains loom to the south, and early on, you'll pass numerous prickly pear cactuses along the wide, rolling route. As the road curves to the northwest, you'll see Black Mountain, an isolated peak that's among Arizona's 100 most prominent straight ahead. Healthy yuccas and large barrel cactuses soon appear amid the desert scrub vegetation, and after 6.3 miles, you'll reach a cattle guard and entrance arch for the Willow Springs Ranch, which dates to the 1880s. Next, the road curves to the northeast, offering views of the Catalinas to the south and the Galiuro Mountains to the distant east, before turning back toward Black Mountain. You might also see scattered evidence of the Freeman Fire, which scorched more than 30,000 acres in this area in the summer of 2024. After another panorama of the Galiuros at mile 9.5, the road rambles through a series of washes which make this route popular among runners and cyclists with calories to burn. Then you'll make a close approach to Black Mountain, which, as you might expect, is one of two dozen Arizona peaks with that name. This one rises to an elevation of 5,581 feet, and its dark volcanic rocks stand out from its lighter-colored desert surroundings. Another point of interest comes into view around mile 15. On the right, to the northeast, look for an isolated reddish butte. That's Antelope Peak, which rises to more than 4,500 feet above sea level. It's the highest point in the Tortilla Mountains, a minor range that runs from northwest to southeast. The views at the top of this peak make it popular among hardy backcountry hikers. The remaining portion of Willow Springs Road winds through a forest of mesquites and other desert trees, and while evidence of the fire is more prominent here, it doesn't detract from the drive's overall beauty. After you crest a hill with a view of mountains to the distant north, it's less than a mile to a Y intersection. Either fork will take you to Freeman Road, which leads west to State Route 79 or east to the San Pedro River and the tiny town of Dudleyville. Be advised, though, that Freeman Road is slightly rougher than the route you just traveled, so if you have any doubts, turn around and head back the way you came. After all, it's not every day you get to travel a superhighway smooth dirt road in the Arizona desert. And this concludes Willow Springs Road. The hike of the month for February 2025 is Soldier Pass Trail. Named for the men who used this route during the Apache Wars, the Soldier Pass Trail winds past a massive sinkhole and into one of Arizona's most beautiful wilderness areas. Articles written by Robert Steves. Sedona isn't the only place nestled in the middle of Mother Nature. Flagstaff sits on the slopes of the San Francisco Peaks. Tucson is sandwiched between the two sides of Saguaro National Park. Even Phoenix has national forests on the northern and eastern edges of its sprawling metropolis. But few places are so nestled in that you can walk from a city park into one of Arizona's most beautiful wilderness areas. That's what you get with the Soldier Pass Trail in Sedona. Technically, you can skip the city park and go directly to the Soldier Pass trailhead, but its hours are limited, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and so are the parking spaces. There are only 14. If you hit it right, consider yourself lucky. This is a very popular trail. Another option is to park at Posse Grounds Park, about a mile to the south. Either way, you're in for a treat. From the park, there are two ways to get to the trail, which is named for the soldiers who used the route during the Apache Wars. The Sedona shuttle runs about every 50 minutes. It's an excellent way to get from place to place in Red Rock Country. The alternative is to use the Sunrise Trail as a connector. It heads north from the park and segues into Soldiers Pass Road. From there, it's a short trip to your final destination. The route begins in the shadow of Coffee Pot Rock and immediately dips into a deep wash. As you climb out the other side, you'll come to a jeep road and an intersection with the Jordan Trail, which veers right toward the Jim Thompson Trailhead. Turn left onto the jeep road and look right for the Devil's Kitchen Sinkhole, which is one of seven recent sinkholes in the Verde Valley. According to the Arizona Geological Survey, the sinkholes occur due to local subsistence into buried pellocarst caverns of the Pennsylvanian Red Wall Limestone. In 1968, Albert Thompson, the son of Jim, shared his family story about the day it all went down. "My parents were living in Sedona in the early 1880s and heard the crash when the spot caved in," he said. "My mother said the dust from the cave-in filled the air all day, and the sun looked like it was shining through heavy smoke. Her brother, Jim James, was the first one to see the new hole in the ground. 'Be careful as you look in. The sinkhole is steep and deep, about 650 feet, and the rocks around it are loose and slippery.' From the big hole, the trail heads northwest to the seven sacred pools. They're not as impressive as something you'd see in the North Cascades, but the small natural scoops hold water year-round, providing a splash of sustenance for the deer and other wildlife in the area. The pools are hidden in a small canyon to the left. The trail heads right into a beautiful forest of Arizona cypresses. About 2 minutes later, you'll arrive at the Red Rock Secret Mountain Wilderness, which marks another intersection. To the right is the Soldier Pass Cave Trail, a route that leads to the Soldier Pass Arches. You'll be headed the other way into the wilderness area. This is where the payoff begins. Even better, the crowds that might have been making noise early on will have all but disappeared at this point. Just beyond the wilderness sign, the trail starts to climb out of the canyon. It's not steep, but the ascent will get your attention as you follow a ridge to the top of Brin's Mesa. The views along the way have been classic Sedona, but they're even better from up on the mesa where the grade levels off. A few hundred yards later, you'll come to a short spur, veer right, and continue a quarter mile to an intersection with the Brin's Mesa Trail. Unless you're doing a loop, Soldier Pass Brin's Mesa Chibola Pass Jordan, this is a turnaround point. As you take in the spectacular panorama, you'll see Lost Wilson Mountain to the north, and so much more in between. What you won't see is civilization. Not bad for a hike that begins in a city park. And this concludes Soldier Pass Trail. Next up, letters to the editor that appeared in the February 2025 issue. My wife and I had never visited the Southwest until I was stationed with the Air Force at Holloman Air Force Base in Alamogordo, New Mexico, from 1969 to 1973. We had relatives in Tucson we visited frequently, and we quickly became enraptured with all that the Southwest has to offer, but especially the sunsets. We now live in Iowa, so my wife's cousin, who lives in Oro Valley, lovingly sends us a gift subscription to Arizona Highways every year for Christmas. And while we so much look forward to getting every issue, the October 2024 issue has now become my favorite. God's many blessings to you and your staff for all of the great work that you do. Submitted by Jim and Rhonda Beck of Fort Dodge, Iowa. I want to take a moment to tell you how interesting the recipes in the November 2024 issue are. I have the apple bourbon sauce simmering on the stove as I write. I would love to see a recipe section in future issues. By the way, I look forward to seeing the unique way you capture the beauty of my home state every month. I've lived here my whole life and can't imagine ever leaving. The desert is in my blood. I'm happy you all love it just as much as I do. Submitted by Amy Burgie of Tucson. Looking down, seen up, the September 2024 issue of Arizona Highways has a two-page layout of Dawn Kish's exceptional photo. My first thought was, look at that lake's irregular shoreline and the moonlight reflecting from the choppy water. Then, a few paragraphs into Dawn's story, my equilibrium took a dive. I was actually seen up from the bottom of a slot canyon and gazing into the infinite starry sky. The black-tailed night raven just goes to show you that the raven is a trickster, and Dawn Kish captured it. Submitted by Pam Kelchit Morris of Anchorage, Alaska. Wanted to tell you about an amazing kindness given to me by photographer Bruce Talbert and his lovely wife, Anne. My friend John had taken multiple Arizona Highways photography courses with Bruce. John passed away at the end of 2021. I was left to rehome his large collection of photography equipment, most of which I couldn't even identify. I had no idea what to do with it. I reached out to Bruce to see if he had any ideas. He emailed me back almost immediately. He remembered John. He knew that John loved his dogs and supported several local animal welfare organizations. He suggested that he could help me sell the equipment and I could donate the proceeds. He immediately saw that I was very overwhelmed. He and Ann made multiple trips to Tucson, carried off all the equipment and other photography-related items, and sold or found homes for virtually all of it. I was able to make generous donations to several organizations. I so deeply appreciate their generosity and kindness to someone they did not know at a time of need. Submitted by Elizabeth of Tucson. On page 47 in your December 2024 issue, a caption identifies a snow-covered circular structure near Wupatki Pueblo as the ball court. The function of the structure shown on page 46 of that issue may actually differ from the ball court at the northeast end of the trail. Researchers have called the circular plaza shown an amphitheater, dance plaza, or community room. Some speculate it may have provided an open-air ceremonial space similar to a kiva because of its shape, bench seating, and central hearth. Submitted by Diane T. Liggett of Williams, Arizona. And this concludes Letters to the Editor. I'll conclude today's readings with a little Arizona humor. While enjoying dinner in a Sun City retirement home, our hostess pointed out a couple who also were having a wonderful time. One was a widow and the other was a widower. Because both were quite elderly and extremely fragile, their friends were amazed when they announced their plans to marry. Someone asked where they planned to spend their honeymoon, and the widow responded, "I thought we would spend the first few days at the Mayo Clinic." Submitted by Everett Ward of McMinnville, Oregon. When we moved to Sun City nearly 20 years ago, we exchanged the lush grass lawns we were used to for green rocks, a few evergreen shrubs, and citrus trees. But my husband also insisted on a cactus garden for the backyard. One of the plants he selected was a good-sized sororal. Time passed, and he watched his sororal friend thrive until it reached a height of 30 feet. I watched too, but not with my husband's enthusiasm. In a strong wind, I swear it swayed a little at the top, and so I begged him to have it removed before it toppled. Finally, a landscape crew arrived and hauled it away. As my husband wistfully watched his friend ride away in a truck, he lamented, "Parting is such sweet sororal." Submitted by Ruth B. Wright of Sun City. My daughter, who teaches kindergarten on the Navajo reservation, was telling the children what their names mean in English when one little girl asked, "Mrs. Berg, what is your name?" "Dawn. What does that mean?" Dawn explained that her name means the beginning of day. Looking completely confused, the little girl inquired, "So, what's your name after dark?" Sent in by Jan Toland of Phoenix. Two horses who had been colts together met one day after many years apart. One had been very well cared for, but the other was down and out. They began to exchange their stories. The well-cared-for one had been purchased by a wealthy horse lover who kept the animals for the pleasure of his family. The horse enjoyed an idyllic life. "What luck you had," the other horse said. "I was bought by a crotchety junk dealer. I don't get much food, and I'm hardly ever groomed. I swear the man takes pleasure in beating me, too." The first horse was indignant. "I would not stand for such a thing. I would write the SPCA. "Sure," replied the downtrodden horse. "If he knew I could write, he'd have me do the accounts, too." Submitted by Lori Lacko of Phoenix. While vacationing in Arizona several years ago, my husband and I were having a leisurely Sunday morning breakfast in a Globe restaurant. A young man, displaying all the classic symptoms of a hangover, entered and mounted a stool at the counter. Placing a steaming cup of coffee before her red-eyed customer, the waitress exclaimed, "Jeepers, Mike, you must have really tied one on last night. Your eyes look like road maps." "If you think they look bad from out there," came his reply, "you should see them from in here." Submitted by Marie Orhood of Grand Junction, Colorado. That concludes today's readings from Arizona Highways. This is Kathy Damaris, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona.
Deserts and streams, the rise of Dos Cabezas, and the outlaws I see in my dreams. I love you, Arizona.
If you missed a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Log on to sunsounds.org, left-click on Broadcast Info and Audio, then under Programming Links, left-click on Demand Podcasts. In addition, you can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.